Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this time. Father, today, once again, I ask that we would be directed and corrected, Lord. Father, that you would expose truth to us today, Lord, as you always do, because you are truth. And that we'd be able to walk in it, Lord, that we'd be set free from some of the things that constrain us and restrain us and cause us to stumble, Lord, that displease you and cause grief in our life. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. I thank you for these people. I ask your blessing on them, Lord. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak to their hearts today. Let revelation knowledge come and rest on each person who's here today. For that, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this time, Lord. We release this time and we release ourselves in this service to you. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to take control in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Brian, you're right. But we need to always remember that when you legislate God out of everything in our society, you can't expect anything less. Like we were before we knew the Lord, these people are lost and undone without God and His Son. And that sounds cliche, but the truth, it's the truth. Let's face it, without the Lord, where would any of us be? Some of us wouldn't be. God's sovereignty begins and ends with those who allow Him to be sovereign. God doesn't just make us do what He wants us to do and, you know, just kind of, as I've said many times, just kind of loosen the bolts and take the head off, dip it upside down, and take the garbage out, put the good stuff in. It doesn't happen that way. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. And so what we need to pray for is that God will, again, move in this country and people will return to the former values and morals that this country was founded on. We go through things we don't need to go through because of carnal thinking. It just happens to be that's what my message is about this morning. And we get crazy and crazy notions because we take our mind off of, take our focus off of the Word and God's promises and what He says we have and who we are in Him, and we put them on things like a hangnail or, something that's honestly, in the vast scheme of things, it's frivolous. It's frivolous. It's frivolous. Has no place in eternity. All you're doing is taking a step backwards instead of going forward. Let's get ready to take God's tithes and our offerings. And before we do that, while Bill and Dusty are getting ready, we'll pray. Father, we see the things that are going on around us. We see the devastation that life without you causes, Lord. We see that people are no longer doing the right things, Lord. We have become so selfish in this nation and so self-centered. We don't take responsibility for anything. We don't think we have any obligations except to ourselves. And that's from false, demonic teaching that's straight from the pit of hell. So, Father, we ask, Lord, for that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We ask for Christians that will stand up and let that light so shine before men that they will glorify you, Lord. They'll glorify your works, glorify what you did, and they'll glorify you in the kingdom of God. That they'll give glory to you, Lord. And they'll understand there is hope because of you, because of what you did. And we thank you, Lord, you did it for everybody. It's not exclusive to a few, Lord. It was for everybody. You said you did it once and for all. That means for everyone. And so, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that these people will see that the Spirit of God would begin to move again, that we'd see a reawakening and a re-enlightening of people's hearts and spirits and minds, that deceptive heart would be exposed and they would reject that and they would turn to you and run to you in Jesus' name. And that only happened by people who will stand up and let their light shine. Be the light on the hill, a city that's set on a hill. Lord, you said its light cannot be hidden. We don't light a light to put it under a bushel. We light a light so we can see and so it'll light the way for others. So we ask you in Jesus' name. We thank you in Jesus' name. that we receive what we ask right now, Lord, and that, Lord, we'll see it. We thank you for holding back judgment because of us. Thank you, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that there would be a turnaround and people would begin to see and trust in the only hope they have, and that's you, Lord, and in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, we rejoice at being in your house again this morning to worship and to praise you, Heavenly Father, for all the things that you've done just for us, Heavenly Father. And we realize that each and every one of us are your most favorite person. It's hard to fathom that, but we are. And it's time for us to get over the fear and embarrassment of lifting you out in public. I know you've been dealing with me on this issue at work and everything, and you are there, and you do back your word when we speak it. And I'm just so joyful and grateful for that, Heavenly Father. And we ask you to bless each and every person that's here today. We ask you to bless and multiply this offering that we're about to receive. Because, Heavenly Father, like Bill said, we are the ones that perhaps you are saving our country for. And Father, no matter what, we will still always worship you. Yes. And no one else. Yes. No government, no other people, no other forms of godliness. Only you, Heavenly Father, and your precious Son, Jesus. In Jesus' most precious name, we pray these things. Amen.
I feel impressed to go on with the message right now. And we can give God glory and praise after the message. That's a good song. That's a good song. And that's what we desire, is for men to find us faithful. You know, as I told you, that God has been impressing upon me carnal thinking. Carnal thinking is not just thinking like the world. It's thinking outside of the Word of God and the Word and the promises and the plans of God. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. We're going to read 11 verses. I'm going to read most of this out of the Amplified, but I'm going to interact probably some of the King James. There are circumstances and things that face us every day. That reveal to us if we're carnal-minded or spiritual-minded. If we're thinking like God, if we're thinking the things that God wants us to think, or if we're thinking carnally. One of the things is when you see something happening in a person's life, automatically there is a sense of judgment or condemnation that comes. You may not be condemning the person, but you condemn the actions when you don't understand or don't know what is going on in that person's life. It doesn't appear to you like it's the right thing, or you just plain don't understand it. And instead of running to God and saying, God, what's going on, or how can I pray for this person, how can I help this person, we sit there and we just let our mind run wild, which is not the mind of Christ. Amen? Here's what the Word says in Romans 8, verse 1. It says, therefore there is now no condemnation, or literally, no one judging guilty or wrong, for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. And if you want a footnote, turn to John 3:18 or write that down. You can look it up later. It says the only condemnation that comes is a condemnation we bring on ourselves by not believing in Jesus. That's not what we're talking about here. Romans 3:18. Verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, or the law of our new being, has freed me or us from the law of sin and death. Sometimes we get to the place where we get so high-minded, we think we know what's going on, and we pass judgment on things we don't understand, or we don't, because it doesn't make sense to us, you know. So we kind of under our breath whisper to Martha, our wife, or next door neighbor, or whatever. Forgive me if your name's Martha. I just pulled that out of the air. And it's carnal thinking. The Bible tells us to think thoughts that are pure and lovely and of a good report. To think on those kind of things. If there's anything praiseworthy, amen? Think on those things. The problem is when we allow carnal thinking in, we get off of the Word of God and we begin to go places we don't have a right to go. And what we do is we forget what manner of man we are. God says He knows the heart. That you and I only look at the outward appearance. We get a glimpse once in a while of what's in people's hearts. But God is the only one who really knows. And if something comes up that we're not happy with or that we don't think is right, the first thing we want to do is start muttering and murmuring and backbiting instead of praying. God, I don't understand it, but Lord, that's Your child. I believe in them, Lord. You believe in them. And I thank You, Lord, that Your thoughts for them are good and not for evil. And Lord, they're going to prosper. And they're going to be in health. And they're going to have a hope and a future. See, when you get off and start thinking carnally, you stop looking at it with yourself. Stop judging yourself according to the Word of God. And you start judging and looking at things you don't have a right and you don't have enough understanding or insight to judge. Amen. Amen. And that's for everybody, including this guy right here. Let's move on, verse 3. For God has done what the law could not do. Listen carefully. God has done what the law could not do. See, sometimes our judgments are based on the law, which is the old law, the law of sin and death, not based on the truth of God's Word, and not based on the forgiveness and the righteousness. Jesus did away with sin once and for all. He took the power of the devil. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And He made an open show of Him. The devil's not our problem. We're our problem. It's what goes on between these two little beady eyes, or behind these beady eyes. What goes on down here in our physical, not the part that pumps blood, but our soul nature, our mind, will, and emotions. And what we don't realize is when that happens, what we do is we're real readily quick. We're quick to pass to make a statement or pass a judgment on what we don't understand or don't see. How many of you would turn on your own family in that way? And yet if you pass judgment on another person sitting next to you or in this place or out there that's a Christian, you have done exactly what the Word says don't do. What right do we have to judge or condemn if God said Jesus didn't and He didn't send Jesus to condemn or to judge the world? The judgment comes at the end. Amen. Amen. God's done what the law could not do. Its power, its power being weakened by the flesh, the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit, sending His own Son in the guise of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. God condemned sin in the flesh. He subdued and overcame it and deprived it of its power. Did you hear that? Right there, verse 3. No matter what your translation, here's what the New King James says. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin. And he condemned sin in the flesh. Doesn't mean he condemned you. He condemned sin. Sin which is brings on and what makes us unrighteous. But we've been made righteous. We are righteous once and for all. What we need to do is get our lives caught up with the righteousness that God's put in place. Because he is righteous, amen? And he's in us, right? Isn't he in us? Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Well, that's what he came to do, is to take that on himself. Yet Jesus, even though he came and was subject to that sin, never sinned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just say for the record that Jesus, we're going to read this here just shortly, that Jesus gave up his everything, all his rights and privileges, I think the Amplified says, to become a man so that he could redeem us. See, it was only through that avenue that because of the sinful man that brought sin into the world, Jesus had to come as a man. But remember, and I don't want to get into this, but I'll just touch on it briefly. We have to remember that Jesus was not born by blood of men. Blood is what carries the sin. Blood is the avenue that sin comes into the world. It's passed on from generation to generation. But Jesus was not born of a man. He was born of the Spirit that overshadowed Mary. So he didn't have that sin gene in his blood. Hallelujah. That ought to make you shout. That's why he can be the sinless, righteous Son of God, even though he gave up his deity and became flesh, the same as you and I. And that's why he could be tested and tempted in every way that you and I are tested and tempted, yet without sin. Hallelujah. And now we can do the same thing through him, through Christ who strengthens us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me go back and read this one more time. For God has done what the law could not do, its power being weakened by the flesh, the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit, sending his own Son in the guise of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. God condemned sin in the flesh. Didn't condemn the flesh, he condemned the sin in the flesh. Amen. He subdued and overcame and deprived it of its power over all who accept that sacrifice. That's you and I. Amen? Hallelujah. You missed a good place to shout. So that righteousness and just requirement of the law might be fully met, fulfilled, not done away with, fulfilled. In us who live, I want to make sure I didn't miss a word here. Who live and might be filled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. What are the things of the flesh? It's not a desire to sin. The things of the flesh are the things that detract us from the Word of God, from the promises of God, from the power of God that's in our lives because of His Word. Amen? Amen. Every time we come up with something in our lives where we cry out, oh, woe is me, you know, oh, that's horrible, what am I going to do? You've taken your mind off of the things of the Spirit and put your mind on the things of the flesh. That's carnal thinking. That's carnality. The only thing that keeps you out of the carnal is the spiritual. Amen. Our lives govern not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, but controlled by the Holy Spirit. Amen. For those who are according to the flesh are controlled by its unholy desires, set their mind on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. See, when you sit back and and murmur and stumble at something you don't understand. You've stepped out of the spiritual nature into the carnal nature. You've taken your focus off of the things that God says. And when you do that, once again, I want to tell you, that causes you to lose sight of who you are, what God's done in your life, and what God is still doing in your life. Honey, you're not perfect, as the world thinks of perfect. Amen. I'm not trying to lambast anybody or to slam anybody. I'm trying to get us to think the way Jesus wants us to think. Amen. Jesus never considered the wrong of the people he dealt with. And the reason he didn't is because of what the Word says in John 3:16, 17, 18, and 19. That he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. So when somebody came to him like the harlot, where he knelt down in the sand and wrote, and these people were ready to stone her, guilty as she could be, just as guilty as she could be. And yet Jesus doodled in the sand and she just made one simple statement. Whichever one of you is without sin, throw the first stone. And they were pierced in the heart. They had to leave. They couldn't do it because they knew. They remembered all of a sudden at that moment what kind of people they were. Amen. Jesus ate with publicans and sinners. He ate with tax collectors. He fellowshiped with people like that. By fellowship, I don't mean he sat and wallowed in the mully grubs with them or in their wrong. He brought light and life into their lives. Amen. Just like he did you and I. Amen. Republicans? If I said Republicans, never mind. Verse 6, chapter 8 of Romans. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit. Hello? That's talking about sensual beings. Amen. The mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit. That means you're figuring things out on your own, and you see something, and all of a sudden you're trying to figure it out. And in the process, you're kind of saying, well, man, how can they do that? Or, well, that's not right. And I remember reading someplace where the Bible says you're supposed to look in the mirror. And the mirror is not for you to point out somebody else's faults. The mirror is so you can see your own faults and change. Amen? Amen? Might as well say amen. Say on me, one. Reason without the Spirit is death, or death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit, it is life and soul peace, both now and forever. That's the Amplified. You want to know what the New King James says? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So in verse 8, it says, so then those who are living the life of the flesh, and that's what it says, the life, not in the life of the flesh, catering to the appetites and impulses of the carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to Him. Again, we're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about stepping out from the things of God and the mind of God into the things of the flesh. Thinking carnal thoughts, sensual thoughts. You see something, and all of a sudden, you don't even realize you're doing it, but all of a sudden, what you're really doing is, they messed up. In your opinion. How many believe God's really in control of everything? How many believe that God turns those things that were meant for our destruction to good, for our harm to good? Where in the Bible does it give us the option or the job of pointing out the faults or judging the faults of others? You may not be judging the person. You judge what you consider a fault. But if all things work together for good, then that means it's not something that caught God by surprise. It may catch you and I by surprise, but not God. Thank you for that. Amen. Let's move on. Verse 8 again. So then those who are living a life of the flesh, catering to the appetites and impulses of the carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to Him. But you are not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit... Okay, we read that too, but that's okay. If the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you and directs and controls you. But if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is not of His. He is none of His. He does not belong to Christ. He is not truly a child of God. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. But if Christ lives in you, in verse 10, then although your natural body... Okay, let me try again. But if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin, think about 2 Corinthians 5:17, the old man has passed away, behold, all things have become new. And it's not your physical body that died, it's the appetites, the sin nature, the sin thoughts, amen? And it begins to die at that moment because God begins to change your thoughts and your attitudes, amen? By reason of sin and guilt. The Spirit is alive because of the righteousness that He imputes to you. And if the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then He who raised up Jesus from the dead will also restore or make alive your mortal bodies, your short-lived perishable bodies, through His Spirit who dwells in you, only through the Spirit. New King James says, but if the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised up Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to read a couple of scriptures out, a couple of verses out of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Are y'all getting a picture? Ooh, don't everybody shout at once. All right. Here's what 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says. But the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and the teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God. For they are folly, or meaningless, or nonsense to the one who's acting in the carnal, the natural man. And that's what we're trying to renew, amen, the natural man. Get it in line with the Spirit of God, not our mind, will, and emotions, and our desires and appetites, amen. For he is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing and understanding and becoming better acquainted with them, because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. Verse 15, but the spiritual man tries all things. He tries. I don't mean you go out and try it. That means you try it by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And you adjudicate it either righteous or unrighteous. Amen? Are you with me? He examines, investigates, inquires into, and questions and discerns all things. Yet it is himself to be put on trial and judged by no one. In other words, we don't want to be judged by anybody. But man, we're fast to point out a fault of somebody else or what we perceive as a fault. Amen. Yet is himself to be put on trial and judged by no one. He can read the meaning of everything, but no one can properly discern or appraise or get an insight into him. Oh my goodness. Help us, Lord. Verse 16. For who has known or understood the mind or the counsels and the purpose of the Lord so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts or the feelings and purposes of his heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. We'll read through verse 11. It says, let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility, who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness and the attributes which make God God, did not think his equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. Let me tell you what it says in the New King James. It may make it easier for you. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. See, really what's happening is when we walk with God and we walk in his precepts, what we're doing is we're becoming like him. And that equality doesn't mean we take the place of God, but it means we come up to the standards that he's placed and has made, put in place for us to be able to walk as Jesus walked. Amen? We're made in the image and likeness of God, right? And we're supposed to imitate him, right? When did you ever hear God whispering behind somebody's back? When did Jesus ever do that? That's right, never. Good answer. Verse 7, but stripped himself. In other words, he put off all those things. He gave up all the things of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant or a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. Remember, I told you we'd come to that. Did you get that, Ryan? Okay. Verse 7, but Jesus stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise or the position of a servant or a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. The one keynote that you need to remember, he wasn't born. The Bible says in John 3:17, you were not born by the will of the flesh or the will of man, or by blood, you were born by the will of God. The difference is, with humans, the blood is passed on, and so that sin gene is passed on. That's the way I put it, if you understand that, if even if that's easier for you. That sin gene was passed on. But Jesus wasn't born of that sin gene. He was born by the Spirit of God. The Spirit overshadowed. That's right. That's right. He was born by a woman, but it was not because of a man. The Bible says she knew no man. Joseph had not been near her. What happened in her was by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That alone ought to be enough for you to shout for the rest of the week and probably the month. What's left of it. And after he had appraised, and after he had appeared in his human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name. That at the name, that in or at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, should or must bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And every tongue, frankly and openly, confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Means there is no place where you can go where God isn't. Amen? Remember the scripture that says that though you make your bed in hell, he is there? Amen. Turn over to chapter 3, verse real quickly. We're about to wrap this up. Philippians. That was Philippians chapter 2 we just read. Now we're in Philippians chapter 3. Two verses, verses 15 and 16. Y'all there? Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. The same mind of what? The same mind of Jesus. Hallelujah. Turn back with me to Romans chapter 12. Final verse. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, 2. And here's what it says. See, the world has standards that they live by. And one of the things that they think is okay is just to go around pointing a finger at everybody. In their minds, they can't do wrong. In their minds, they're perfect. In their minds, it doesn't matter what they do, it only matters what you do. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Here's what it says. It says, do not be conformed. Romans 12, 2. Final verse. Do not be conformed to this world or this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. But be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind. By its new ideas and its new attitudes. For what reason? So that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. The Bible says that we're supposed to have and receive and walk in the gift of discerning of spirits and discernment. Not discernment, discerning of spirits is what the Word actually says. But there is discernment that comes. Discernment of carnality. Discernment of knowing what's going on in a person's life. God may not reveal everything to you, but He can reveal to you where there's a need. Amen? So rather than run off half-cocked, or putting our running off at our mouths before our brain is engaged, What we need to do is we need to stop and pray and say, God, I don't understand. I know, especially if it's somebody you know or you think you know. I don't understand or know what's going on in their life. I know what I've seen. This is not normal for them. Lord, I pray for them. Might just be that God will give you a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge that will be able to minister to that person. What ministry takes place when all you do is sit there and say, man, I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand why that person's doing that. I don't understand why that person's, you know, having so many struggles. Well, can I just tell you something, honey? Therefore, but by the grace of God, go you. Amen. Only in Him do we live and move and have our being. Amen? It's only in Him. And He loves us. And He has put in and will put in a word of encouragement, a word of lifting up, like we talk about when we pray here, that God will build up, exhort, edify, and comfort. How much edification and comfort comes from somebody running somebody down or talking negative about them? When you don't understand. There could be something physical. There could be something spiritual that they're struggling with. There could be some mental issue they're dealing with. Amen? How would you like to be treated? Remember, what measure you give or you meet, it'll be met back to you. It'll be given back to you. That's the law of sowing and reaping, and that works in the negative as well as the positive. Again, we're not talking about salvation issues here. We're talking about sickness in the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says no man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man that's within him. You can know it. Amen? Can you imagine what harmony and what would happen if we all put that nonsense behind us, ask God to help us with that? And when we got around people, they would be so drawn to us that they would see and realize the reality of Jesus and ask us of the hope, ask us of why we're so happy, why we're so joyful, why we're so blessed. That can only happen by coming out of yourself and becoming the spiritual man that God wants you to be. Remember, the old carnal man is dead. Supposed to be dead. And how can you, if you're dead, live any longer in the things you were doing? Good question. God has the very best for you. And He gave His very best. I would ask you this morning, shouldn't we do the same? Shouldn't we give our very best? And that means not sitting back trying to figure out things from a natural standpoint. Not trying to sit around and look at things and decide whether they're right or wrong. But going to God and say, God, I just pray that you... Maybe it is. Maybe it's just something you need to pray and say, God, deliver that person from that. I don't understand it, but if it's healing they need, then heal them. If it's mental peace they need, then Lord, put mental peace in. Put peace in their heart, in their minds. If it's financial, then pray God bless them financially. Give them the seed that's necessary. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. God's for you, who can be against you? We just had here not too long ago on the screen. Part of your heritage is to condemn every judgment that rises against you. Not the judge or the judgment that rises against you. It's your heritage. It's your spiritual right. How can we keep track of where we are if we're so busy looking at everybody else? It's one thing if the Spirit of God puts compassion in your heart for somebody. That's not thinking kind of weird thoughts. That's going out and having compassion, meaning you love them and you want to see the best that God has for them. Is that what we want for one another? Well, I got one yes. Got a not, praise God. That's what I want for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are all hearts clear? Praise the Lord. At least there's a few people around here who are still alive. It was kind of ominous. You sit up here and you speak the Word of God, and with no interaction, you wonder sometimes, God, am I just wasting my breath? Is this really going out? And all I can tell you is I don't care what I see, and I don't care what y'all do. I don't understand it, but I don't care, because the Bible says when the Word goes forth, it accomplishes what it's sent to do, and it does not return void. So you got the Word this morning, and now you're responsible. Ha ha! I got you. Amen. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your good thoughts, your good plans for us, Lord, to give us a hope and a future, to prosper and not to harm us. Lord, we need to walk in, and we desire to walk in the fullness of who you are, what you are, and to be exact replicas and exact imitators of you. I pray for every person within the sound of my voice. I pray, Lord, that they would begin to release to you the things that they don't understand, the things that cause them grief, or somebody said kerfuffle, the kerfuffle that comes up in their life. Just release it to you. And walk in your peace and in your light. And at that point, Lord, when they're in tune with you and your Spirit, they'll be able to have a word of encouragement. They'll be able to go and pray or say, brother or sister, I don't know what's going on, but I feel I need to pray for you. Let that be the standard that we live by in this house and in our lives. We thank you and praise you for it. Thank you for revealing your truth to us. Thank you for directing and correcting us, Lord. And Lord, we just respond by saying we love you. And now, Lord, we enter into your praise and your worship as a corporate entity, Lord. And we thank you. Seal your word in our hearts by the Holy Spirit of promise. In Jesus' name. If you can say amen, say amen.